What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the world famous Comedy Store here in Hollywood, California, for another episode of Comedy Store Wrestling. My name is Eddie Torres, and with me, the inappropriate one, Earl Skakel.
My new Sting shirt with no holes in it.
Fuck yeah. Thank you, Pro Wrestling Tees. Before we get into his heat with Pro Wrestling Tees and our guest, we do have a very special guest.
They're out of control. I don't know who makes their t-shirts or what they're on when they're making them, but I bought a Will Ospreay shirt that was like off-center by a couple inches, and like
buying those mystery bags or like those discounted
ones? I'm paying full price. $29.99 for the extra premium soft, which feels like fucking sandpaper.
All right. Well, let's introduce our guests before we start down bridges that
We'll burn those bridges before we cross.
100%. Yeah, right?
F those guys.
Very special guest in the house. Professional wrestler, director, producer, and editor of Being the Elite. Professional rapper, apparently, on Spotify. Kind of.
I guess, technically,
you get money for it.
I am getting a little bit of money for that. So, technically,
professional hip-hop artist, Brandon Cutler is here.
Hey,
What's up?
Welcome to the show, man. How you been?
Good. That was the first time I've ever been introduced with that.
As a professional. Yeah. Hey, man. I listen to it while I work out. So
I'm really?
He is the master of research. Yeah. If you've done it, he knows about it.
Yeah, fantastic.
So first off, I wanted to bring up the fact that I haven't seen you lately on television.
Right, yeah. I got my ass whooped.
Well, I mean, you got destroyed by Moxley.
Yeah. Moxley, Claudio.
Broke your mask. You were all bloodied up.
Right.
Is that the start of a new beginning for you, or are you just taking a break?
Not sure. So, in all honesty, that was an idea I had for that angle, being that there's 10 people in the angle itself. Yeah. For it's a 5-on-5 team that they were building for this blood and guts that had just happened this past week.
Yeah.
And so early in that angle, it was kind of apparent that I was like, every time they do these little brawls or something, or like, you know, these guys will be after a match and then they'll come in and jump. And I was all standing outside of the ring with a camera and I'm like, should I get hit or should I fight at all? Or should I just stand there and record this? And after a couple of those, I was like, yeah, maybe me and Nack should get taken out for this angle. And so I threw that idea out there to the wind to everybody that I was like, hey, what if how BBC or BB? I've constantly called them BBC. It's yeah, BCC.
BCC.
It's unnatural for me to say BCC.
Not the BBC London News Channel or the Pornhub search that Earl looks for.
Oh, absolutely. Wait, shouldn't it be BPC? Blackpool Combat?
Yeah,
BPC.
BCC.
Right.
BPCC.
BPCC.
That's a mouthful.
We get to the bottom of things.
See somebody on an email about that. But yeah, I was like, after a couple of those times, I was like, hey, what if like you guys, since you're taking kind of everybody out, they did like Hangman with the screwdriver and Don, like, you know, clubbed him and then he ended up getting a nice gash on his head.
And they ended up getting a Don out of it. So
I was like, what if you guys kind of do that to me and Knack, but like it's a little more gruesome and then it takes us out for the rest of the angle. So then we don't have to like have 12 or 13 or 14 ish because now like Don and yeah, Takesh and all these others are like kind of coming in that I'm like, yeah, well, what if it wipes us out and then you guys can have your angle? That's already 10 people deep, that it's already so many, like, you know, like chefs in the kitchen.
Yeah.
So I was and then we, you know, we could peace out for the rest of this angle once they do that. So and everyone kind of bit on it. And then it became of like, for the day that I pitched it, it became of how brutally they could beat us up. It was a lot of ideas thrown out of like, ooh, what if we like had you guys like locked up in a place backstage and then we drag you out to the ring? Like, there's a lot of different ideas of how they can like brutalize us. And then that was like kind of what the end result ended up being, is what you guys saw.
Weren't you scared of the mask breaking and you getting little shards of plastic in your eye or something?
So we discussed that too, of like if we could do something either backstage that I would just get dragged out and the mask is already broken, or could we actually break one of those masks out there? And like Claudia was like kind of like flexing one of them and was like, these aren't made to be broken. Like, they're made to like
to protect you.
Right. Yeah. So we were like, yeah, I don't think we're going to act like, I don't think we're going to on air live be able to break one. Like, it's going to be, even if we did backstage break one and it's like, okay, they do break live, you know, everything goes wrong live. So we were like, we can't do that live. So we had our production with like saws, chop up one. And then during the match, I swapped and put the broken one on, because that was also something that I was like, if you guys break it while it's on me,
it's going to cut your eyes. Yeah.
One of the other ideas was take it off of me and like try and just like break it and then like, you know, leave it as a mess. But we thought it would be cooler if it's broken on my face.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's
yeah,
the route we did.
Kayfabe, everyone.
Hey, oh, breaking.
My goodness. Ball. Getting right out of the game. But you know, do you see that this might be a potential opportunity for you to maybe switch up the character? Or
right, yeah, yeah, definitely, because even that night, just being the bloody mess and something about like being bald and bearded and bloody, like,
pretty metal,
it looks pretty cool.
Yeah,
like those pictures I took that night, Speedy did a great job taking some awesome photos. I looked hardcore, I looked badass. I'm like, I could see this being a thing.
Yeah,
so there's like talk of maybe doing something, maybe not, or like how a lot of things in wrestling of like, maybe nothing happens and it just gets,
yeah, a lot of stuff fizzles away and there's nothing
right,
happens.
Yeah,
but
so it's,
you know, I think it would be a good idea for you just because, you know, and no offense, I mean, I think you know that your character is very comedic,
right?
You know, you're the stooge, you had your
yeah,
you had your you know, your angle with Peter where like who's racing to the bottom, you know, like,
yeah,
it's
yeah,
a funny thing, but you're a legitimate fucking wrestler.
Like, thank
there's
you, yeah,
footage of you guys back in the day in PWG, you and your brother versus yeah, the Bucks doing crazy stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it'd be cool to showcase that side of you in on
right,
television. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think there is that part of me where I could do like something with like maybe like the dragon or something again of do like a serious wrestler type or just something completely new, you know, haven't even thought of. But, there is something, I think, to the comedic, to the stooge at the moment, because like when I look at like the roster of AEW, I'm like, there's like dozens of like great wrestlers of like, okay, he's a great wrestler. He's a great technical wrestler. He's a great high flyer. He's like great on the mic. This guy's great at this. This guy's great at this. But it's like, how many people are the funny guy?
True.
It's like you got Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, and maybe Danhausen.
Right. And that's and the list stops.
Oh, yeah.
So like, you know, you have like, if you think of great wrestlers, it's like it's stacked.
Yeah.
And like, and especially in a company like this of like, okay, you want to be a great high flyer, you got like, you have Vikingo and Phoenix and Pac
Lucha
and
Bros, yeah,
Commander, like you got so many and they're top level.
Yeah.
So you can't just be like, oh, I could do a good Rana like, you know, or something. It's like, no, it's like the game's elevated now. You can't just be kind of good or like, you know, good enough. It's like you need to be top shelf of all of whatever category you're going for.
Yeah, yeah.
So there is that of like, okay, yeah, I'm a good wrestler, but am I the like best of what class I'm doing? And I'm like, in comedy, I believe I am.
Yeah.
I'm like, I think I could be like top shelf one of the comedy guys.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'll go for that. I don't mind that.
Hey, that's a good angle to take. I mean, RJ right, told me the same thing. He's like, I asked him, you're a professional wrestler, why aren't you wrestling? He's like, because there's enough wrestlers.
Right.
You
yeah,
know what I mean? There's enough of them on the show.
Yeah.
I have a thing that I'm good at, might as well focus on that, you know?
Right.
Who do you go to pitch an idea? Do you go to Tony, like, directly?
A lot of the times it is just spitballed, like BT, of like just the travel day with the Bucks, of like we'll usually just always be talking wrestling the entire travel day. So that's kind of always where like ground level of like what I'll like try some ideas with, or like say like, yeah, I'm kind of thinking this or something. But then, yeah, it eventually does end up being like just a Tony call. Like Tony's top of everything. So it's like it's not going to get approved if Tony doesn't hear about it or if he doesn't like approve it.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So, and now I know in the beginning, I mean, not the beginning, but, you know, the last couple years, it's been Tony, only Tony. But I've been hearing that there are more people now kind of giving some input on creative and different producers and whatnot. So has that kind of changed a little bit? I mean, or does it all still need to funnel into yeah, Tony?
Oh, it absolutely all still does funnel through him. But he does have some people that, like, help him with that or something. Like,
well, that's good.
Yeah, that'll switch. Or, like, usually the coaches will help individually with their matches and stuff. And then it still is the coach will go to Tony to get, like, final approval for anything and whatnot. But, yeah, like, it's kind of, like, depending on the match, like, it is a lot of, Christopher Daniels coaches a lot of the Young Bucks matches, so he has a lot of input usually, or ideas that he'll like spitball like while they're playing in the match, and like say like, hey guys, what if you guys did something like this or this? It usually ends up in the match, kind of a thing. So it's like some stuff that you might see out there is somebody's idea from the back or something that you'll never know, but like, yeah, it gets in there, and then like that's just kind of part of the match or part of the angle, and then like, yeah, it ends up being like, you know, they'll go to Tony or something and be like, hey, what if we Like, I know this was the original idea, like how that whole idea of like, how can we beat up Knack and Brandon? That was like five different ways of kind of doing it. And everyone had like an idea or a pitch or something. Mm-hmm. And it was just like a collaboration of, yeah, like 10, 12 people all like saying, ooh, I like that idea. What if we did this? What if we did this? And then it kind of is like, all right, well, what are we going to take to Tony and be like, okay, this is what we landed on. Let's like, you know, what we'll do a match with them then.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, speaking of like a new character for you, or maybe a return of an old character, I had a friend hit me up. He was like, ask him, when are we getting Ronnie and Donnie Tsunami?
Yeah, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, that was so Ronnie and Donnie was literally one match. That was me and my brother when we were both separate gimmicks. I was Ronnie Tsunami and he was Diablo. And then I was coming up with the idea of like, hey, maybe we should do the brother tag team thing, like how the Bucks had just started doing it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, maybe we should do that. And we didn't have matching gear or matching anything. And I had just two of my little surfer shorts when I was Ronnie Tsunami. And that is that name's derived from that Disney movie called Johnny Tsunami. Mm. So we're like, well, we can't name you Johnny Tsunami. So it's like, whatever, Donnie Tsunami just for this match, just so we could tag and like, start just doing tag stuff, and then like I think we immediately got matching gear and became the Cutler Brothers.
Nice.
After that, yeah.
Is your brother still wrestling?
Nah.
No. And why? Nah. I mean, if I can ask.
Well, we both got out of wrestling because it was like the era where like no indie guys would ever get signed, kind of thing. It was around that. It was like I want to say like Punk and then Bryan Danielson were like in that era of like they made it, and it was like and there was like it was far in between,
right?
And there was no one else really. It's not like how it is today of like, you know, you can have three matches and get signed or something.
Sure.
It was back then where it was like you have to grind, and it's like nobody gets signed, nobody actually makes it, like dreams weren't fulfilled back then. Sure. And so being that we were a tag team as well, and that we're in Southern California, and like it's like a bubble from like wrestling is honestly East Coast. So being over in Cali, it was like if you're gonna make it, you're gonna have to get flown to the East Coast. Mm. And if somebody wants to fly a tag team, they're gonna fly the Young Bucks. They're not gonna fly. Right. Oh, let's get the second best tag team in California,
the Tsunami Brothers.
Right. So it was kind of always dealing with that of like, ah, man, like it's already so hard to make it, and then it's like. Now, you know, imagine you're the second best tag team from this far state that nothing other than PWG, like nothing else was going on in Cali. So it was like, if you want to make it, you're going to have to get flown to the East Coast to get seen enough to make it somewhere. And so it was like, we kind of like, we saw like, we're probably not going to make it. So we both kind of quit wrestling and became personal trainers, and we opened up gyms and stuff like that. And so he just skyrocketed with that. So
is that how you met the Bucks with the whole like?
No, we met in their backyard. We used to live. They had a house and our apartment complex was like the next street over. And so just being kids, like we were all like 12 to 16-ish age range. Just being kids in the same neighborhood, we met, and like especially my brother met them with one of his friends from high school, and I remember he came back to our apartment complex with all of our friends that lived in that apartment complex and was telling us about like we met some friends from our school. They got a ring in their backyard, and that blew our mind. We're like, what? They're like, I have a ring, and they're like, yeah, and they hold matches like every weekend. And like we just couldn't understand it. We kept asking more and more and more, and we finally went to one of these shows, and that was like July of 2001.
Wow.
Is when we met them, yeah.
Now, times have changed, though. I mean, you were saying that, you know, L.A. had or California had nothing going on, but like, it's kind of like the other way around now, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot more stuff. I keep seeing these Republic of Lucha shows.
Republic of Lucha and PCW and right. PWG is still going. And,
XPW.
XPW, more, yeah. I mean.
Grown.
It's a little violent for, I don't see like it.
Vice president of XPW.
It's a palate cleanser. Like.
Hey, we just saw Blood and Guts happen. Like, it's just a lot of violence is going on. It's a lot more violent of a wrestling world, I'd say now.
I had that bed of nails. I was like, this is very XPW.
That
like,
was nuts. I laid on that before the show. I was screaming the whole time I was on it. I didn't expect it either. Yeah. I started laying down, and at first when like I felt like my back start to touch the nails, I was like, oh, okay, as soon as you like put a little bit more weight on it, like when you have just slight weight, it's okay. And then the moment you feel like your full weight press against it,
nothing else, just my body weight on it. I was screaming, oh, give me your hand, pick me up.
Dude, if you haven't seen the BTE from this week.
I have not, but they, I will.
You talk to the prop maker.
Yeah.
That actually, it's nails.
Yeah.
It weighs 100 pounds.
Yeah.
That bed of nails weighed 100 pounds.
Over 1,000 nails that you took
it's
in there.
Real fucking nails. Because we were talking about it last week. And he's like, I don't know what those nails are made of. I'm like, yeah. Probably
what
nails.
Real nails are. Yeah. Galvanized steel.
Yeah. That shit looked crazy, man. Yeah. And Kenny's back, too.
That was the crazy thing, too. So in the corner, he gets like hit into it. And then the bed of nails falls and scrapes his shoulder. I was like, oh! Those are one of those things in wrestling we all say of, it's those little things that hurt more than some of the bigger things of, like, you know, you like a guy drops an elbow on you, but then like accidentally hits you with his knee as he's standing up. It's like, ah, like, give me another elbow drop. Don't hit me in the face. But dude. Yeah, that nail scraping his shoulder. I was like, oh, that was probably no. The other stuff was more painful, but
yeah,
it was one of those like,
it looked gruesome. If you watch the BTE, like, you had some good footage of his back. It just looks like like you said, a bear attack, I think.
Yes. That's what I was telling him. I was like, I should get that on camera. I was like, you look like you're in The Revenant. Like, it looks like a bear just clawed your back.
He's not human, man.
He's not. Yeah.
It's like
his back hasn't scarred from that cage match he had with Mox, where they had like a barbed wire chair. And I think it was a superplex that he ended up hitting the chair and sliding a little on it, so it's like a full rake was on his back.
Yeah.
And that hadn't even healed yet completely before this, so I'm like, you're getting layers of scars on top of each other now on your back. It's disgusting.
I mean, that's how you build callus, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
Don Callis. Hey, all right.
Yeah. He's getting funnier. Like, I was a little down on him like maybe 6 months ago, but
yeah.
He's really funny.
Oh, yeah. You give him a mic. He's got some great lines.
Yeah, he was hilarious when he got attacked by that weird security guard in Mexico.
I heard about that. I didn't know that was real. So, like, I first heard, like, a headline of, like, Don got attacked. And I was like, oh, okay, he's healing. He's, like, he's freaking over.
This is
so
more.
Like,
this is more.
And then I heard, like, oh, it was at, like, AAA in Mexico. Tijuana. I'm like, oh, he got legit attacked. Yeah, I kept hearing more details like throughout the day, and I was like, oh, this was real. This wasn't like a plant or like a controlled, like, it's an,
plant.
Yeah, I mean, that's how you get real, like, that's legitimate heat right there. If you're getting attacked, that means you're good at your job.
Roddy Piper status. You
But apparently, at first I thought it was a fan, but it was apparently a security guard that was looking out for Kenny.
Right, yeah, that's what I heard. So that was another piece. So I thought, okay, it was a fan. And then, like, a couple hours go by, I hear more details of, oh, it was a security guard choking him out. I was like, what? I was like, yeah, he was, like, mid-promo. He was like, Kenny Omega, oh! I was like, what the heck? This story, as my day went on that day, I was like, I kept getting more details. I was like, this story's getting wilder. I should just actually look into it and see what happened.
Well, now, something, talking about all these, bed of nails and also the barbed wire for Kenny, like, we talk about this here a lot, where it's like, you guys in AEW, you should be like protecting your dudes for the biggest show of your entire business, which is All in London.
Yeah.
You know, and we're like, there's no way Blood and Guts Kenny's going to do anything crazy because he's got to be ready for London. And then we watch the match, like, what the fuck?
A lot of your top stars.
Like, what are you guys doing?
Mox and Claudio, Pack, the Bucks, Hangman.
There's 10 dudes like right there.
So many stars on your show. All bleeding and disgusting props. Yeah.
I mean, is there any conversation backstage of like, hey, maybe not the bed of nails today?
I mean, no, they asked for that. So, I mean, again, go back to Kenny's back. It hadn't even healed from a cage match that he had. And then they also had, that was like, that cage match a week or 2 weeks before the Anarchy in the Arena match?
Yeah.
And then after that match, then they're having fun, I guess. Yeah, they've had way too many hardcore matches, so I don't think those combos are necessarily going on.
You should start having that conversation.
Right, yeah.
You guys have a big show coming up. I mean, when I have a big show coming up, I'm, like, sleeping the whole day before. Like,
right.
I'm going to be rested and nice. Like, I don't know what you guys are doing out there.
In today's day and age, it's like, go, go, go. Like, you just can't rest. Like, social media, like, what's sad is we always say it a lot of – a lot of those clips will be dead by the next day or by like the next week of whatever happens next week. It's like, oh, well, Blood and Guts is forgotten. Or like, yeah, like Anarchy in the Arena is forgotten. That cage match where Kenny almost got his leg torn off when the cage, blew through the cage.
Fuck.
All those things, like, you just forget about it because there's just so much content just getting like shoved into our face that it's like, oh, yeah, that happened 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. That happened to me with WrestleMania. We were here, like, we did all that stuff with Mania. And then like the 2 weeks later, it felt like a year had passed.
Right. Yeah.
There's so much shit going on. And wrestling right now is at a crazy point where there's just constant news, constantly something going on. There's like, hey, this happened, or that guy yelled, or hey, well, you know, somebody's injured, or blah, blah, blah. Like, there's always something to talk about.
Yeah, both companies have tons of shows right now. It's so much content, so many hours of wrestling per week if you're trying to watch all of it.
And it's not just so both companies. Much, it's Impact and
GCW. Yeah, that too. Like, if you start diving into, like, all those, like, others, then it's insane amount.
Yeah.
But I'm like, if you just tried to keep to those core, or, like, even just one of them, say if you were just going to be like, I'm going to watch all of AEW. So you got 2 hours of Dynamite. There you go.
This guy.
Trying to think of, I'm like, we don't got Dark Order. I was going to go through the week, but I'm like, nope. We got Dynamite, and then we got Rampage, and we got Collision.
And you got BTE.
5 hours.
BTE as well, which that's
I mean, I watch it religiously on Mondays, and it's, I have been for years, before your time as well.
Nice. Hey, yeah. I was about to ask that. I'm like, do you watching?
I was actually in one of the episodes.
There you go. Which one?
Oh, he was too. Yeah, Ryan got some footage of him in the Comedy Store bathroom. Talking about.
Oh, okay, okay. There you go.
Talking about how Omega is so good, he can make a match with Omos good.
There you go.
I know you probably can't. He's the big.
Oh,
guy.
Okay. Yes.
Omos.
Okay.
Yeah, the big guy.
Yeah. I've only ever honestly read his name.
Wow. Very large individual.
Yeah.
Like Saddam Singh. There you go.
Yeah. So, I wonder who's taller out of the two of them.
I think so. I don't know.
Look, I'm one of those wrestling fans that I would love for both companies to work together so that we can see Saddam Singh versus Omos one day.
I don't know if I want to see that. I'll go with Omega.
As far as all the different like, you know, fantasy matches you can have of the merging companies.
Yeah, it's a kaiju.
That's the one we want to see.
That's the one I want to see. It's the kaiju.
It is a good one. Yeah, that
it's
is
the
a good
kaijus.
One. Yeah.
But
Satnam's a sweetheart. I love
Satnam. Is he as so big as he looks?
He's bigger. It's insane. Anytime I shake his hand, I'm in disbelief backstage. Every time. His hand just swallows my arm. Yeah. Like, it just, oh, there goes my hand and my wrist. And now, like, it's just a tree moving my arm. He's huge. And then he'll joke with me, too. He'll be like, squeeze my hand. And I'm like, I can't even wrap my hand around your hand. I'm like, let me just do like
both
this
hands.
Hand and try and squeeze. And then he'll start squeezing my hand. I'm like, no, my whole arm.
Do one of those old school tested strength.
Right,
you know?
He's like, I want to see if his hand could like just palm my whole head. I'm sure it could.
Yeah, he's that. I got a Dynamite when they were at the Forum. I ended up getting some passes that allowed me to go to the back.
Yeah.
And I saw him in person. I was just like, what the fuck?
Right,
like, there's no way.
Larger than life human.
Yeah, and we had Omos in here, actually. He showed up. We had NXT tryouts here, and he walked by. I was just like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Really large.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was saying earlier, I was in the Invasion episode.
At the Ontario.
Ontario Mall.
And then they went. Yeah. Nice. There you go.
I've told the story here before, but it was cool. I got to march with the boys from the Hot Topic to the crowd.
Nice.
Cody gave me a fucking Bullet Club shirt. Yeah. And I had to pretend to be part of the Bullet Club with them. So
yeah.
It was fun.
Oh, that's cool. Do you see yourself in like that clip that's always used when they're all like marching toward the camera?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I have my own footage. I'll show you after, but I have footage of me like filming, and it's like Nick Jackson filming me, and we're just filming each other. Like, what the fuck's happening?
Oh, that's great.
But anyway, so you were one of the first AEW stars, athletes. You're not called
people
superstars.
Star, yeah. But yeah, we don't have like a term. Like
you don't have a term.
We don't got
wrestlers,
like the AEW universe or whatever.
Talent,
yeah, probably just wrestlers, talent. Yeah,
yeah. But you were one that was. You had two contracts,
right?
Or at least that was the angle on BTE.
But. Yeah, yeah. I think it's because it was just the cute like two contract Cutler. It was just like you know, because there's a bunch of people that had two contracts. Almost everyone that was signing early on in the company had two contracts. It was just. You know, on BTU, ham it up, and then it's like, oh, yeah, I'm two contract Cutler or whatever. But it's like, yeah, a lot of people had it. Like, the Bucks had two contracts. CD had two. Like, a lot of the people signing on had two contracts because, yeah, they were either EVPs in talent or, like, yeah, talent relations in talent or just can't
content.
Other ones. Yeah,
What's your second title?
Executive producer of content.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, okay.
So fancy.
Big deal.
Yeah.
So when it is two contracts, is it technically two checks? Like, how does that work out?
Yeah.
It is two checks.
Yeah.
Ah. You guys are doing well for yourselves. All right. All right. So I wanted to take it back a little bit. What was your first match in pro wrestling? What was the first time you wrestled?
Well, first, like, I think, like, professional one was with HRW. When that was our own, like, kind of like our backyard turned kind of like, hey, we're going to start actually. They bought a ring.
Was that the Bucks thing?
Yeah, the Bucks and their family, their dad bought them a real ring because they had we did backyard wrestling with a ring that their dad had built, and we did that for whatever that was, like 2001 to 2005 ish. But then, like, around 2005, they did HRW, which is high risk wrestling. Their dad bought a real ring then, and then we start renting out, like, venues and, like, having shows. So I guess that's when it kind of turned professional then. So 2005 was my first, like, professional match. It was with those, when we were doing skating rinks that we would rent out. And, like,
interesting.
They gave us, like, no time to go in there and set the ring. I want to say it was, like, an hour before the show. We had to set the ring up and set up our, like, backstage curtains and have, like, all the seats around because it was out on the skating rink.
Jesus.
So we had to put protective stuff down, built the ring, put out the seats for all the fans to be in, build our backstage. The guys had to plan their matches, you know, all the other wrestlers that aren't, like, you know, deeply involved in it. All the other, like, you know, indie talent would be like, all right, you know, if you can help put the curtains up so people can't see you changing, and then, you know, try and get your match done. Because a lot of us would be, every Saturday, we'd be training in their ring. So, like, we'd have our matches done or usually, like, know what we're doing before that night. But then that was on us to be like, all right, well, we're setting the ring up and, you know. And then I was running music as well in between my matches. I was the one
DJ.
Playing. Yeah, I was doing all the music for all the guys. And, oh, yeah, it was a whole. But, it, like, you know, it was that, like, family-built, like, do-it-yourself mentality of, like, oh, yeah, no, we're going to. It never dawned on us that it's, like, we only got an hour. It was, like, that's just what I thought. Like, yeah, okay, this is how you do a wrestling show. Is you need to put it up this quick and, you know, tear it down. We go set it back up into their backyard afterward, because they'd be like, oh, yeah, well, that was on Thursday night. We'd be doing the show, and then Saturday we're going to train. So it's like, I'm not going to come back here sometime Friday. Let's just set it back up Thursday night after the whole show, after we've been to Denny's and ate and, like, you know, had a, like, the whole show, like, feeling. And then it's like, let's take the trailer back to their house and set the ring up, and, you know, late night Thursday night. And then Saturday we'll be back to train and do whatever again.
Yeah, man, that's the game. I mean, that's one of the similarities I love so much about between comedy and music. Because it's the same kind of deal. Like, Guns N' Roses plays, they're not doing the setup, but when they're done playing, we don't get to celebrate. We got to tear down.
Yeah.
Load everything out.
Right. Yeah, but they were on heroin.
Yeah, I was the one loading out, not them. I wasn't on heroin.
I don't think Slash was loading anything.
Oh, man. I wanted to bring. Well, you were mentioning the wrestlers going over their moves.
Yeah,
it's like a new meme going around in the wrestling communities about families walking up to shows and seeing the wrestlers working out spots in the parking lot. That's like a new thing.
Really?
Yeah,
I haven't even heard about that. Is, like, there footage of this?
Yeah, because
it'd be great. I want to see it.
Yeah, there's just memes of families, like, staring, like, staring at the wrestlers. Yeah. Like, oh no, everything's ruined.
Trying, yeah.
The magic's gone.
Great,
Moxley going over the moves he's gonna do. Like,
this is how I'm gonna put the screwdriver in your forehead.
Right. My God! Yeah. By the way, you know, speaking of protecting your talent, like, as soon as he walked in, fork.
Yeah, and that, you gotta love that with Moxley, because that's the energy he brings. Because that, what's great on them is they prep the match, or, like, the order of who's gonna come in, knowing that, all right, well, when we bring Mox in, he's going to change the tempo. He's going to shift the gear of the match. And he does, because it's like, that's Mox. It's the energy he brings. He's not going to come in and be like, all right, let me, like, lock up and, you know, I'll do some wrestling here. He's going to come in and he's going to do that of, like, no, F these guys. I'm gonna fork their heads.
Yeah, man. It's one of the few people, like, I hang around a lot. I know some of the boys, so I get to hang out backstage and see the prep and everything. He's one of the only ones that I felt really intimidated being around.
Right, yeah.
Because I was at Bloodsport 9. He was, I forget who he had a match with, but I was just in the locker room and he was just applying, like, icy hot and just fucking, like,
the way he walks too. Right,
like, god,
he walks like, oh my god, like, he's gonna just punch somebody out of the out of the blue.
I wanted to ask,
he walks like that everywhere.
Yeah,
we see him in the airport, he's still walking like that.
We're like, oh my God, Mox is still pissed.
Yeah, like I was so intimidated trying to ask him for a photo. I'm like, you know what? Never mind, dude. Right, fuck it. And he's, I don't know. All right. What was the first match you remember watching when you were smaller that you said, you know what? I want to become a wrestler.
Man, that I don't know. I was, funny enough, I was just trying to look it up today of the first memory I've ever had of wrestling, which was, I thought it was the Undertaker putting Hogan in a casket.
I thought you were going to say Kamala. That's my guy.
Nah.
That's my guy.
Because, like, the memory I had...
Listeners at home, hit your bingo cards. No, I'm just kidding.
The memory I had was, I want to say it was he kept trying to close the casket on Hogan, and he'd keep putting his boot out. It was a colorful boot, and he kept trying to close it, and he couldn't. And then he finally does. And then I tried to Google that. I was like, Undertaker, Hogan, casket. And I only see the funeral bar, something like that, where it was like they were doing like just a promo and it was the Undertaker was hiding in the casket. So I was like, okay, he didn't put Hogan in it. And then I like just looked up like Undertaker's casket matches back then and he's doing that to Ultimate Warrior. So I'm like, was this a weird brain thing where I thought it was Hogan, but it was actually work? Because I found the clip of it's Ultimate Warrior doing that where he keeps like trying to fight, not losing a casket match. So I'm like, maybe, I mean, I was a kid. So
I was
8 to 11. Yeah. That was my first ever memory. I walked in on my dad watching that of like Undertaker trying to close a guy. And it was that clip because then they're taking like screwdrivers and trying to open the casket and stuff. And they're treating it like it's airtight. He's going to be passed out.
Die.
In there. They open it and they start doing chest compressions on Ultimate Warrior. And I was like, oh my God, like watching this today, I was all, what the F is the audience thinking? This is still in the era where it's like everything's real. Like, so I'm like, they're just doing chest compressions live on air right now. Does the audience think this guy's shoot dead? And like, so they're selling it like that. And then he starts like coming back to life and stuff. I'm like, I saw this when I was like 8. What was I thinking?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, what did you think when you walked in and saw your dad looking at a dude getting buried?
Right. Yeah, that's probably what caught my eye. And I was like, what's going on? I'm like, why is he putting him in the casket? And he's fighting and he's still trying to put him in it. And then he gets it. And it's like, I want the guy to die when I was 8. No wonder it's stuck in my brain.
And then your brain goes, I want to do that.
Right. Yeah. I want to be that guy in the casket.
I want to be the guy in the casket.
Yeah. I don't know that tidbit of like the part where I finally just turned to where I'm like, I want to do this. I don't know when that officially switched, but like, I don't know what clip that was, but like probably as I learned more of the business, it was like an eventual, like, I do know when I thought of it when I was like trying to find college like classes of like, all right, what am I going to do with my life? I don't know. I don't know what classes to take.
I'm going to be an architect.
Right. It's like, well, yeah, what things are you interested in? I'm like, I don't know. Like nothing job related. Yeah.
Video games.
Right. Yeah. And I didn't know that could be an actual job when I'm going to college.
Yeah.
But it was that I was reading Jericho's book, funny enough, at the time. And I was just like, this is what I would want to do of like, I just randomly like dawned on me. I'm in my bedroom reading Jericho's book. And I'm like, this would be a thing that like, if I could ever do something like, yeah, if there was no limit of like what you can actually achieve in life, it was like, yeah, I'd want to be a wrestler. Like, that's the thing I would want to do. And even then though, I was like, likely not going to happen. So I still have to face reality and get a real job. So I still kept trying to find other college classes. But I just remember that thought of like, yeah, that's what I would want to do. But you know, there's reality. And so I probably won't be able to.
Isn't it crazy that now you work with him?
That's nuts. That's insane. I don't think I've ever told him that either.
Yeah, that's a wild thing, man. A lot of that happens to me as well, where like when, you know, things that I thought about when I was younger are now happening. And it's like, ooh. Like we're able to do the things we want to do if we apply ourselves.
Right. Yeah. That's the nice thing of this like kind of day and age of as fast as things are moving. It is that though of like everything is so accessible that I'm like, all raising my kids, I'm like, I never want them to feel like whatever it is. Like, yeah, because I probably would have gone through a video game job if I knew there was jobs in video games.
Right.
Like being a tester or anything.
Well, that's relatively new. I mean, I'm 41. Same thing. Like, I grew up with games, but I never thought it would be a job.
Right. Yeah. So I'm like, I never want my kids to ever think like, oh, you can't make that a job. You can make anything a job. Anything. Like, we're watching cake decoration videos right now. And I'm like, if they ever wanted to, they could do that as a job. Like, yeah, that's what I'm kind of big on right now is like
cake. What's that show? The baking show.
It's actually there's a dessert show, like where they have.
I want to say one. Isn't there one called like Is It Cake?
Is it? Yeah. Well, there's that. Yeah. I've seen those where they just chop the things.
Right.
And
like, yeah.
Oh my God, it's cake.
There's so many of that, but we just like watching like YouTube the shorts of like just a quick 1 minute of somebody's like quick version of everything's in fast forward of them decorating a cake real fast.
Yeah. I see that. That I'm kind of, you know, it's a weird balance because I do appreciate the fact that, like you said, we can do whatever we want now.
Yeah.
We have the tools to do it, and people can make money doing whatever they want. But I feel also like our attention span is now getting smaller and smaller and smaller because everything's a short, a reel, everything is a story on Instagram. Like, we're not sitting there watching 35 minutes of Cake Boss.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly when you're saying all these shows, I'm like, well, I don't want to watch all the shows. I just want to watch the shorts of it. But I don't know. I feel like that's probably like just something the world's always had of like, I'm sure when telephones were invented, it's like, oh, what? Now you can't go walk over and knock on somebody's door. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, there's probably been these discussions throughout life. And that's just like, because this is what, you know, everything we're dealing with now, we're having these discussions. But I'm like, yeah, in my high school, cell phones weren't a thing. I remember when my buddy JC got a cell phone and he had the one where it's like, ooh, you could play music for your ringtones and stuff. I was like, that's insane. I'm like, can you get the Power Rangers theme on there? And you know, like you get the, I remember for when texts, when you could first get the like, whenever you get a text.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everyone did it. So it was like, ah, that's not even a fun joke anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
But like, yeah, that's like in our world of like, yeah, we've grown where there wasn't even cell phones. Now there's phones. Like, yeah, there's.
Yeah, I think our generation's a little bit different than the ones before us or the ones coming now, because we were there for the birth of the internet.
Yeah.
And birth of cell phones.
A lot of stuff.
Like I clearly remember using one of these fucking phones.
Yeah. I've seen videos where they
Earl remembers, too.
Adults show their kids that and they're like, what's this? And like, I forget what the kids' answers, but they have no idea that it's a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it's like watching wrestling before the internet was completely different.
Yeah. The whole like, real. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I really thought Akeem was
that
from
was
Africa.
All the WCW stuff. Like, I think I just saw something about like, it was maybe it's some like this many years ago, Vince appeared on Nitro, like showing that he bought it. And I remember being shocked. I had no idea that any of that had happened. And I see all the comments saying the same thing of like, yeah, I didn't know Dirt Sheets. I didn't know this was happening until like I saw this on TV. And I'm like, yeah, that's kind of how everything was back then. Like, I didn't know Dirt Sheets. And I'm big into watching 98 Nitros right now from the 1998.
Nice.
I started in January and I'm all the way to, I just got to June. I think it's like a June 1st Nitro is what I'm on right now.
Wait, are you saying you're subscribed to Peacock?
It's a free subscription. Some service I have. I want to say like, because I have like Walmart Plus.
Oh, okay.
Right. I have, it's which included. Also, I think it's that, included. I think it's because I have AT&T, I get Walmart Plus, and because I have Walmart Plus, I get Peacock. Okay. And I think HBO Max.
It's like, hey, that's
it's
a good
one
deal.
Of those trickle things of like, yeah, I have one service that gives me a bunch of all these other stuff.
That's a good deal.
But yeah, anyway, I'm into like watching all those like Nitros and Thunders from back then. And like, they're cutting promos and talking about some of the Dirt Sheets. And I'm like, if you guys didn't ever say these things, no one would probably catch on. Well, it's the internet. Eventually they would. But I'm like, they're talking about stuff that I'm like, I didn't know. But I was a teenager at that time. So I'm like, there is people that did know at that time. Otherwise, they wouldn't be talking about it. But like, going back and watching those, I'm like, this all went over my head when I originally saw all this. And I'm like, I wonder if that's happening now to people, of like the stuff we say in our promos. It's just going over people's heads. And they're like, I don't know. I just like MJF because he talks funny or something. I don't know.
No, I think we're in a generation of smart fans.
Right.
But I do feel that there is, like, we talk about it here with John, too, where there's like a, what is being fed to the Dirt Sheets to create maybe like a kayfabe vibe to where, like, oh, we're talking about, oh, this conspiracy or that thing that happened, or, oh, my God, there's somebody that might be injured, or, you know, like, we're all talking about it, but who knows what's being fed?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I have no idea. I constantly wish I got a relationship with some of the people because I'm like, I want to control some of these narratives. I want to feed stuff to them. But I'm like, I don't even know where to start. I'm like, do I just message them? I don't know. Yeah. But I'm like, I'd love to start controlling some of these online narratives.
It's wild. They go crazy. And it's and it's not just wrestling. It's everything. You know, everybody creates rumors for what's going on. But
right.
I don't know. I don't, if I had to, you know, if somebody asked me, like, do you prefer back in the day when kayfabe was alive or what we got going on now where everybody's smartened up? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, I enjoy it either way.
It's good. Yeah, it's just going to be times, because then back then, I'm sure they were even thinking that of, because there was just like dirt sheets where it was papers that were printed that said all that same stuff. So it's like it still was a thing. It was just differently. It was
formatted. Hard to get.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But
I prefer the older days.
Yeah.
No shit.
You thought Nikita Koloff was from Russia.
Right.
Oh, he's from Minnesota. What?
I mean, because that could be, I mean, that's just wrestling, though, of that there is some people that are like, I want to dig deeper in it, because it is like the whole like, oh yeah, you know, there's a layer behind the curtain that if you got to know that too. So I think people dig into that, because I always say it of like any show that I'm into, I just watch the show and nothing else. I don't know any deleted scenes. I don't know the outtakes.
You don't watch it behind the scenes.
None of that, honestly. Not anything. And
yeah,
or like,
you produce,
or I never,
a behind
I don't,
the scenes.
I don't
show.
Go follow. Right, yeah, right.
You got you there. You yeah. Got you there.
I guess everything I watch, I need to see all of behind the scenes now.
I don't want to know.
I got to cover my ass. Yeah,
nah, it's fine. I
don't follow any actors that I'm like, oh, I love that guy's movie. I love Leo DiCaprio. I'm going to go follow him on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Or like, I'm like, nothing. Or I've never tweeted, this is great. Or like, this show sucks that I'm watching right now.
Yeah.
So I'm like, there's also that. But I'm like, I get wrestling kind of invites it, because there's that whole like, hey guys, do you know about like the behind the scenes stuff that happens here? But I'm like, but that's kind of everything though, right? That's entertainment of like, hey, did you know the CGI for Spider-Man? Like, you know, he actually did this. But I'm like, I guess there is an audience, because they do put out those deleted scenes.
Yeah, there's definitely an audience for that. I personally kind of, I don't regret the way I live my life, but it does take away a little bit of the magic when you get so into something.
Yeah.
Like with wrestling, music, and I guess video games, I've when I love something, I go all the way. Right. And then I just kind of remove the curtain and I know all the details. So like now when I go to wrestling shows, I just enjoy the physicality and the storytelling. But at the end of the day, like I know that heel isn't a bad guy. Like I know he's a really good guy, and it kind of like takes me out of it. So I have to like convince myself constantly to enjoy the product instead of just enjoying the product.
Right. Yeah.
Because I know too much.
I think that's probably why I'm on like I want to watch Nitros from 98 kick, because I don't know anything from backstage, and I have no idea of any of the stories from back then of like, oh, this guy had heat with this guy. Like, I don't know, I'm in the dark here. So I think that's why I'm like, and that was the teenage years when I would watch it. So I have that nostalgia as well.
Yeah.
But I think that's because I tend to go back and watch that stuff rather than like, oh, let's see what's going on in this week's things at all. I'm like, I work with those guys. So, yeah.
You got a Nitro in July of 98, Warriors.
Yeah, he's going to appear, right? Yeah. So funny enough is like, because every couple like months, I'm like, oh, this is when this is going to happen. And then like I'm like, ooh, okay. Because I originally wanted to watch this because when I was a teenager watching it, I remember the NWO, but I don't remember ever seeing the episodes where there was the Wolfpack. Wow. And so I was like, I knew of the Wolfpack. I knew who was members of the Wolfpack, because when I'd play the WCW Nitro the Revenge game, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I knew all the members of Wolfpack and everything. But I'm like, I don't remember seeing a lot of Wolfpack. So I Googled it, and that's what led me down this whole 98 thing. So I was like, all right, and it was like, it said like, yeah, Wolfpack debuted in like April or May or something like that. So I was like, oh, okay, I'll just start in January of 98 and work my way to see how they got to be the Wolfpack and all that. So I'm like, it's finally getting paid off. I'm like, Wolfpack is formed now and all that where I'm at. But I'm like, yeah, I saw something about that of like,
what's the best
Hogan saying like, I've defeated the Warriors. I'm like, I remember in that era too of seeing these promos where like Warriors up in the rafters and Hogan's like cutting promos and whatnot. And so I remember that in my teenage years. But again, I'm like, I don't remember all of it. So I'm like, I'm looking forward to when I get to that again.
It's a 28-minute promo on live TV.
Oh, my God.
28, and he, what are
of
you
both
do?
Of them?
No, or not just really. Warrior. Just Warrior. Yeah. Just Warrior. Talking about goblins
is,
and dragons.
Is Hogan there? Or is it just...
It's Hogan
has to just like entertain this?
It's Hogan, Bischoff, and the Disciple, who's, you know, Bruce Beefcake.
Right. And are they in the ring?
Yeah.
And then Warriors, I'm assuming, what, rafters or
something? He comes in, and like, it's like a Kiss concert. Okay. you know, 5 minutes. All right, this is a good promo. The crowd's hot. 10 minutes. Right. All right, it's getting a little lukewarm. 15 minutes. Oh boy, it's time to like. And you could Bischoff is like steaming, and Hogan's just like.
Oh my God, I can't.
It's amazing, like,
man. Oh
it,
man,
it just.
I gotta see that. I just sent these in a group chat of it's Ultimate Warrior cutting promos with Jim the Anvil Neidhart and the Rockers, Marty Jannetty and Shawn Michaels. It's like two different videos that they're hyping up some match, like some eight man they're about to have. And he's unhinged. Ultimate Warrior's going nuts. The other three are having a separate promo than what Ultimate Warrior is having. It's hilarious. You got to look this up if you haven't yet. The three of them are like trying to have, like, they're looking directly at the camera and being like, you know, Survivor Series or whatever. We're coming for you guys. Ultimate Warrior's pacing around them with like wrist tape, and he's just wrapping the three of them up with it. It's so good. And they're all ignoring him. They're not even looking at him. They're just getting wrapped in tape and still cutting their promo. And then he just starts like gibbering, talking like, hey, yeah, goblin type stuff. Yeah. And they're all just like, yeah. At one point, he rips Marty Jannetty's and Shawn Michaels' shirts, like just rips them. So like the front of the shirt just rips off. And their shoulders and everything. So the rest of the shirt's still on. He just got like the front.
What the?
And they ignore it. They just keep cutting a promo after it.
Oh my God.
It's
so good.
It's one of those, like, if you got wrestling group chats, it'll circulate.
I got one more for you.
All right.
Put this in your group chat. It's when Sid joins the Horsemen.
I don't remember that. I'm going to have to look that one.
It's just look up Sid debut, Horsemen, and Flair might have been under the influence of several things. And. He's giving different heights and weights. The Sid has the interview. First, he starts out at 6'10", 350, and then Flair, he's 7'2", and then Sid looks totally confused as what he's supposed to say, and then Barry Windham might have had a few cocktails. It's the greatest promo. Debauchery.
In my house, one of the known Sid promos was, I may have half the brain you do. You remember that one?
Outsiders. He stopped.
When Nash is dressed like Sid.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to them. They're just laughing at that.
Well, that's what made his promo so great.
Right.
The botches almost fit his character of being unhinged.
Right, yeah.
This gigantic madman.
Yeah.
It was so incoherent. Good. But yeah, that in our household when I was a teenager, we would constantly quote that. I may have half the brain you do.
But you know what? During Shockmaster, when that whole thing happened,
oh my God,
Sid kept it together. Like, he was the only one in character still. Like, I'm going to get you.
People I just showed him some Shockmaster footage.
Oh, that's the greatest
good stuff.
Botch.
Anyway, going back to some interview stuff, this is kind of, you know, usually we do news here. We're not going to do it today because we're talking to you, but this is kind of news, kind of interview.
All righty.
So your first appearance in AEW was a battle royal.
Right.
You threw out Billy Gunn.
Did I?
You did.
Hey-o. That's great.
And Billy Gunn retired?
Yeah, put the
collision.
Boots. I saw that. Took the boots off.
I teared up a little bit, to be honest with you.
I didn't see it coming. And then I'm like, what? This is an angle. But then I see people online, you know, like Buddy Murphy and all these people, like, oh, thank you, Billy Gunn, for all your blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, did he fucking retire? What's going on?
Possibly. I don't know. I'm going to guess here of possibly in ring, and he's still just going to be a coach behind the scenes.
I hope so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean,
because everybody loves Billy. He's great. Dude, he's hilarious.
He's in tremendous shape.
Oh my
he's
God. Right. Yeah, how do you? Well, it's the Seinfeld thing of right, like, you know, end it while you're on top of like.
Yeah, I mean,
like, hey, while I still look great.
I mean, wow. I mean, has anyone had a run where like so late in their career they've blown up? Like, because he was right, one of the hottest acts with the Acclaimed.
Oh yeah, Scissor Me Daddy. That merch sold insane.
You ain't kidding.
Great.
He's got a couple of them.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
I feel ridiculous.
Scissor Me Daddy or Scissor Me Daddy?
Daddy ass.
Yes, that's right. Because I was all, no, there's more to it. There's more.
And I live in West
Bulgaria.
Hollywood.
Yeah.
That goes over.
And it's great. It's bright pink shirt.
You know, depending what message you want to send.
I wish that honestly ran longer. That I feel like that could have had like another 6 months to a year run of them doing the Scissor Me Daddy ass stuff.
Maybe he comes back.
I got a great Billy Gunn story.
Go for it.
A separate battle royal, funny enough. I just don't. You're right. I did eliminate him from that one. So this was a pandemic era battle royal that I was in with him.
There was still, like, you guys still had a crowd though. Like,
no,
like five or six people.
Like in Daily Pop.
I was trying to think when we eventually started to, like, we had like the boys
go
out. Boys, that's when Austin Gunn was, he was yelling through all season pandemic era of like, there is no audience. There's just Austin Gunn. Cause he was so loud, which we all appreciated.
Yeah.
Cause he was like one of the few that, like, after, because it would be the same people for, like, the whole show. So, like, after a match or two, they start, like, fizzling and being like, all right, I can't get excited anymore. And Austin Gunn would hold strong.
Nice.
So, yeah, great for him. But so it was a pandemic era battle royal because it was at Daly's place. And I don't remember what it was for. It was just something, though, of, like, you know, a bunch of guys in there. And at one point, I'm in there with Billy Gunn. And he's, like, he's stomping me in a corner or something. And then he, like, picks me up and he says, like, you know, like, reverse me and, you know, light me up or something like that. So then I'd start hitting him in the corner. I give him like one or two punches. He goes, ah, you're stiff. And he grabs me and puts me in the corner. I go, uh-oh, here comes a receipt. Like, oh, God. And I'm like, I wasn't even like intentionally trying to hit him or anything. I was just giving him what I thought was like, decent punches. Like, I'll like at least make contact. So I'm not like, oh, I don't want to be called on like having weak punches or something.
Right, right, right.
And so, like, yeah, he puts me in the corner. I'm like, oh, here we go. And I just like, he throws a punch, doesn't touch me. And so I'm like, huh? And so in the battle royal, like, I'm like taking note of like, oh, wow, this guy's like super professional. Then I go back and watch it and I'm watching his strikes. He looks like he lights me up on the punch where I'm like, that is a professional right there. He doesn't touch you and his strikes look amazing. And it was one of those moments where I'm like, no coach, no producer, anybody could ever teach you one of these things. It's one of those you have to learn in the ring of like
20 plus years of experience,
right? Of like, that is being a worker of working your punch, throwing a great looking punch and not touching the guy. Where I'm like, oh, that's that era of wrestling.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that's a lost art. Because now guys just light each other up with live rounds.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, that's something I've never even told in that story either. But that's that's a really good like learning lesson where I'm like, I was a mark in that moment of like, I'm sitting here throwing real punches at a legend
because
I'm like worried that I'm like, oh, my punches aren't going to look good. It's like, take the time. Make your punches look good and don't hurt the person you're in the ring with. I'm like, I was like, well, that was one of those moments where it's like one of those aha moments you have.
Yeah, like the smart fans like to throw the words around that they think they know of like, oh, he's a good worker. That guy's a good worker. It's like, you don't know what a good worker is.
Yeah, you don't know until you're in the ring with a good worker.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you start to learn. And it's like that. Like I said, no one could tell you or teach you or any of that. It's one of those like you have to be in there and experience it because like, even if that you just heard this story, you still that second hand that you just got, that you have to be in the ring with these people. And then you understand like, that's what they've been telling me.
Yeah, man. Like to me, I'm buddies with Andy Williams and Butcher, but he was telling me when he had a match with Ishii. And I was like, oh man, how hard did he hit? He was like, softest person I've ever been in the ring with.
Right.
Oh, nice. Because, it looks like crazy when you see Ishii and Suzuki chopping the shit out of each other. But, you know, the famous Ospreay Omega head dump.
Oh, geez, yeah.
I am of the school of thinking that was just really professionally done.
Like, right.
A lot of people think it's...
I have no idea.
Somebody got
that's
dumped.
What they went out there to do. I have no idea. But I'm like, it happened, and they're okay.
Yeah, like, I think when I rewatch it over and over, I feel like, you know, professionally, he took some of it on his shoulder, the angle of his neck, too. Like, after watching it, like, 10 times, I'm like, well, that's actually, like, it's dangerous. I'm not going to call it safe.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't think it was as devastating as it looked.
Right.
And that's a true professional right there.
Yeah. I have no idea if that's what they intentionally went for, if that's just how it ended up or whatever. I have no clue, but they are great. And then, it's weird to me in my head of, like, why is everyone harping on that when, like, we just had a bed of nails.
Like, clearly there's other things we're going to do to ourselves that it's like, yeah, we're going to put our bodies on the line, and some other things are like just Darby. I love Darby, but I'm like, he's just an example of like, yeah, when you want to do something crazy, you're going to do something crazy.
Yeah, like just run full like, speed and fly out of the ring and just smash without any concern.
Right, yeah.
Darby just those cannonball things. He just... Yeah.
Right, so it's like, why is this move being the thing that's the topic of debate?
I think it's just because it just looked so wild.
Right, yeah, and it was like a great match, and it's like, oh, it's coming to the end of the match. It wasn't needed, but it's like, I mean, I don't know. I would say that it got everybody talking even more. So
yeah,
I'm like,
you got a
what
shirt
you
out
want,
of it.
Right? Yeah. Oh, it did?
Of what? I bought
Ospreay has a shirt.
Picture of the move? Or?
Yeah. Oh, well, it's cool. A drawing, but it's okay. The Tiger Driver. Yeah.
There you go. You got it. Say, hey, look at that. Now he's making money on it. So I'm like, to me, I'm like, drop me on my head. Let's do it. Let's do it. I'll get the internet talking about me. Get booked some more.
Like when those two are wrestling, dude, the boys in the back, I mean, those guys have such good chemistry. Yeah. Does everyone watch when the, like?
So there's a lot of like, there's like a viewing area for every show that like a lot of the main talent will go there. Sometimes there's a lot of people in like catering because sometimes like there'll be screens like throughout catering. So yeah. Then you can kind of see in there too. Or there's like specific locker rooms that everyone's kind of like hanging out in. But like, yeah, there's lots of areas that, you know, everyone's usually watching the whole show at. It's kind of just like, oh, where you all kind of watch it? You know, I'll go to catering and eat a little bit, and then I'll go to these people's room, hang out with them, see some of the show. As I'm like walking to like the go position, I'll see the viewing area. I'll be like, let's watch some of it here.
Yeah.
And when Sting did that ladder spot, I have to ask.
Which one are we talking about?
The
most recent one where he busted his tooth out.
Like, where it looked like Darby was going to do it. This. And then Sting said, I got this. And like,
oh, geez.
It was like.
I don't know if I've seen this clip. I think the latest thing I saw from Sting was the 6:30 with Sammy through the table.
So after that.
Oh, okay. Was it the same match?
No.
No,
oh,
okay, okay. Next week.
It was the following week.
Oh, my Lord.
Following week, he put Sammy on two tables. Climbed up a ladder and told Darby, I got it. And
from
then,
a distance.
Yeah. Like, he was in the ring and flew outside of the ring into two
How
tables.
How have I not seen this clip even? Oh, my God. Jeez.
He hits the table.
There's just too much wrestling. Yeah. I'm in this company and I haven't seen this.
It's amazing.
How?
So the two tables are together. They break the first one, but he hits the second one right on the edge.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
I have even heard about this.
It's...
There is just too much going on.
But the way they did it was like you see Darby, you're just, this is going to be another wacky Darby
right,
spot, and
yeah.
This thing kind of slowly climbs up.
How is this not talked more than that Tiger Driver?
Yeah,
a man lost his teeth.
I mean,
and I have even heard about this
63,
one.
For God's sake.
I've heard about this Tiger Driver for like 2 weeks now. I have not heard about Sting losing teeth.
Not only this, he cuts a promo after. The show ends and the cameras go dark. There's footage from the fans where he cuts a promo. He's like, "All right, guys, you know, thank you. I want to thank Tony
and
for letting me
toothless.
Do this. Yeah, thank you, Tony, for letting me do this. You know, I got to go get some teeth fixed, but you know, we're good."
I haven't seen or heard a moment of this.
Forget the Warriors return. Forget the Sid promo. They can wait.
Yeah. Go watch this when you're
in the car going home.
That's also what's wrong with the internet. Then is the algorithms aren't feeding me what I need to see.
Thing spots
on this stuff.
How much time have we got, Katie?
Lord.
Are we good?
We're at 50.
Oh, we're good. All right. So I wanted to ask you some like quick BTE questions.
All right.
In terms of the editing and stuff like that. How much footage do you get from the guys? Like how much work goes into an episode of BTE for you editing wise?
It depends. If they've had a match, I usually am sitting on like 40 to 60 minutes of kind of like raw footage of the day. And then if they don't have a match, it's like 25, 30-ish minutes of like kind of footage. And then like that gets cut down to like, say if it's like a match episode, it's like maybe a 22-ish minute, somewhere ballpark that.
Okay.
Episode.
What are some of the favorite like footage that you've gotten from, I mean, aside from the Good Brothers doing the helicopter with their dicks.
I love the Good Brothers.
Wait, I haven't heard of that.
You gotta watch.
That's why you need to watch BTE. BTE is all of the stuff we cannot put on TV.
Yeah.
Wait, you can put that on YouTube, guys?
Yes.
I mean, it's
you should
slightly
see
censored.
This last couple of weeks with the Hung Bucks shirt.
Oh, the Hung Bucks shirt. You need that shirt. Are they gonna make that shirt?
I don't know. I don't. Can you
you're
sell that shirt?
You're looking at a buyer right now.
Shirt is
three dicks.
I'm sure Sting is having a heart attack right now.
Pitch this shirt as if Matt is trying to pitch it to Matt and Nick right now. You got to try and sell them on it.
You lost me at the three dicks.
Oh, no. They're censored.
It's the Hung Bucks, they're hung. Right?
No, that's the name. I get the idea.
Right. So they got to show why they're called the Hung Bucks.
They really don't.
So it's three
cock and balls.
Three dicks, because there's three of them. There's three men in this group.
Wait, who are they? Who's
Matt,
the
Nick,
Bucks
and
the Hangman?
Oh, okay.
The Hung Bucks.
Instead of Young Bucks, Hangman, gotcha. Hung Bucks. It's three dicks, and then you got to write their name on the shirt, right? You can't just have three dicks on a shirt. So it says Hung Bucks, ooh, but the lettering, the font looks like...
It's all jizz.
It's jizzed out.
You know, I don't have to get every shirt. I'm good.
Man, I would buy that shirt. I'll tell you that.
Raunchy.
I want that shirt. I'll buy it. Yeah. Put it on PWTs. I'll pay for it.
Yeah, there you go.
No, but for real, like, aside from like something like that, where like there's an episode of BT where the Good Brothers are just fucking naked doing the helicopter.
Right? You show that on YouTube?
Well, that, no, you not, know, it's
I'm
censored.
Trying to think
it's
of like, or we just had like,
I think it's like, yeah, it's like right up here.
Yeah. There's something that we did, some camera trick.
Thank you for that trick.
Who's like your favorite contributor, and or has there been something submitted that you're like, I can't fucking. Even that is too much. I can't do that.
Not anything really like that of like too raunchy that we can't ever put on. Because, I mean, look at what we're doing.
Yeah.
We have three slightly pixelated dicks on this show. When I first had it, I was all, should I pixelate these more? And it's like, oh, no, they're kind of already. All right. No, there's a lot of stuff I've honestly been filming with ever since AEW started. I had this in mind of like one day there's going to be a documentary of like the beginning, or just like what it's like to be working at AEW or something. So I have that usually every week of something that I want to film that I will not show on BTE. I have that in mind of like, this would make for a good future documentary thing of like the guys prepping their match or something before the show, or talking about their match immediately after. Stuff like that.
So kind of like the show that exists, the Unrestricted, or what's it called? The one, not,
right, yeah.
All Access.
All Access.
All Access, right. Yeah.
So but even that, like that.
Even that feels a little like there's some work
right,
going on.
Yeah. But I have, because I was always doing that since the start of AEW, I was starting to just, I had that, because on the first episode of Dynamite, I have footage of after the show goes off air and all the guys get to the back, them all on a high just talking about how that segment went. And I have like 7 minutes of just like uncut footage of just looking at everyone just all meeting together and talking about how it went and whatnot, just like right behind the curtain as the show's like, you know, they're playing off the crowd and everything.
Nice.
Like that kind of stuff. So I had it like right from the beginning of like, I gotta start filming like the beginning of like what this whole thing is. And I've just had that idea ever since of like. And then it really came to light when The Last Dance came out with Jordan's stuff, where I'm like, they've been sitting on this footage for how long? And like, this is such good. It's such a good documentary, what they did with that. So that really ignited more, like lit the fire into me of like, I got to get really good stuff of like, you know, and I just hold forever. One of them was the Stadium Stampede match. I recorded almost that whole night of like the first one of like what that was to make that match. And like, even then we're all saying like, this is going to be one of the best cinematic matches like wrestling's ever seen, kind of a thing, while we're filming it. Like, we were just that like so into it, and we were like putting our all into it and having like so many like great ideas that they were like, oh yeah, let's do that. Like, oh, let's have Hangman in a bar room fight. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff. So I have a lot of that footage that I'm like very proud that I am just sitting on, that I'm like, one day this is going to be like my last dance documentary. I don't want to edit it because I'm like, my God, this is so much footage that I'm like, I would love to just pass it to someone else, because I'm like, I don't want to go through all this. This is a lot of footage I've filmed.
Yeah, just go to Fiverr. Pay somebody $5 and get all the footage together. Send them
600 hours of footage.
Speaking of that, I mean, did you go to school for editing and all that, or did you just kind of learn it on the fly?
Learned it all because when I first was doing it, it was still just cell phone stuff. And then I was like, and I would even say that. I think I had an interview where I was like, yeah, this is the charm of BT, is you just film on a phone and put it on YouTube. And then like one of our production guys, like I think our social media guy, upgraded his camera. And so he's like, hey, do you want my old one then? You can shoot for BTE. And that's what got me into like, all right, I'll take it. And then I just started watching YouTube videos on like that camera specifically. And then like just like filming and like editing, all that stuff. I still like every week I'm watching usually more editing things with this program I use called DaVinci Resolve.
That's what I use.
It's great. It's so good. Yeah, I love the user interface. It's so like user friendly to me, at least. My brain understands it. I've tried like was it Adobe Premiere?
Yeah, Premiere is the popular one.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I tried to give it a like, oh, this is what everybody says I should use. And I was like, nope, I just can't. After like 10 minutes of like, I can't do anything. Everything seems like it's trying to hide from you in that one.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, yeah, Resolve is more like, oh, this is where I think it would be. It's there. Perfect. That's where I want that clip tool to be used and whatnot. But yeah, usually just it's all I say the University of YouTube. I learn everything. I've learned almost any life skill I have on YouTube. I've learned how to change my car oil, my brakes, like
nice.
Like stuff around the house, fixtures and things. Like everything is on YouTube. I'm watching cake decorating. Me and my kids are decorating cupcakes now because of these YouTube videos. Well, you can learn everything on YouTube. Everybody wants you to view their stuff, so they'll give you all of their knowledge.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I learned how to use DaVinci. At first, I was intimidated. I'm like, I don't know anything about this shit. And then I watched two videos. I'm like, oh, I got this.
That was how I made the music, the song, is I watched YouTube videos on how to make music and stuff. And I learned the programs that you edit music in. So nice. I was like, all right, I'll do that too. Nice. It's like I could go down almost any rabbit hole, I feel like, that I'm like, oh, yeah, that's something I want to kind of do. I'll go down that rabbit hole. I'll start learning how to do that too.
I figured Papa Buck maybe helped you out with the music too, because he does music, right? No.
I've never felt like I want to like ask somebody of like, hey, you know how to do this. Can you teach me? I've always been more like, well, I guess YouTube is what I do that with. Cause then it is also comfort of my own home. I can watch and like pause and be like, all right, my brain, I got to like let it sink for a second. And then I could go back to it. I was just doing that. I was telling my wife earlier where I was like, I was watching, how like outlets work of like electric currents and whatnot. Another weird random. It's because one of our outlets went out, so we ended up replacing it and whatnot. But then I was like, I kind of want to know how this works. So I was watching a video on that, and then I was like, oh, I gotta go lay down. My brain is kind of like just bogged. I just need to like lay and do nothing for a minute, or like watch some nitros for a little bit. But yeah,
I just put down those.
I'm invested. I watch them.
All right, I got three quick questions before we wrap this up.
All right.
Dream match for you
right now as the Stooge, Orange Cassidy.
Oh,
I think we can have an entire match with both of our hands in our pockets.
That'd be amazing.
Nice.
I think we could get through an entire match, hands in the pockets.
Okay. favorite video game right now, current, of all time. That's
I've
too much.
Been loving the Assassin's Creed ones, the latest three. I played all of Origins. I played that all the way through, and then I played Assassin's Creed. Odyssey all the way through.
Origin, and Odyssey, and
now I'm on Valhalla. Yeah. I'm like 2 hours into Valhalla, so that's kind of I've done virtually nothing on the game so far. I've done nothing.
Yeah, that game is huge, man. That's like a 400-hour game.
I think I told Adam Cole that, and he was oh, okay, you haven't seen the prologue yet. I'm like, what? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, because the other two games were like that too. I was like, oh, okay, I'm kind of getting a sense of this game. And then you see a cutscene, and then it gives you like the title of Assassin's Creed Origins. I'm like,
it's been 4 hours.
Yeah, I'm like, I put 4 hours in this game. It's just now dropping the title of the game on me.
Are you still streaming? Twitch streaming?
I took a break from it. I kind of want to start back up. Because I was
a way to make money.
It is, but it's also at least it's a rabbit hole I would go into. So then I would be looking up a ton of stuff for like Twitch streams of like, ooh, what's fun interactive things you could do with your streamers, or like what's a new game that you could play with, or like I'd play some games and I'm like, I kind of have no interest in it, but like it looks like it's fun to play on stream, so I'll play it.
Yeah.
So it was like it was a little too much where I'm like I stepped back and like was like, yeah, me and my wife haven't like even seen the latest Marvel movies. Like I gotta start catching up on some of that. And now we're at a point where at the end of the night, so I'm like, what do you want to watch? I'm like, I don't know. I kind of seen everything I kind of care to watch. So I'm like, maybe let's go down a rabbit hole, learn how to
make
currents in an outlet.
All right. And the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling for you.
Of all time, man. That's hard because I feel like Mount Rushmore should be more categorized of like we were saying of
like Mount Rushmore of like, hardcore like, or
so like okay, fine. Well, I would try and think, I guess, of like the Mount Rushmores of all Mount Rushmores. So I'm going to try, I guess, to do, let's do a person representing everything.
Okay.
I don't know. Actually, maybe not, because that's even hard.
I was gonna, since your Stooge character lends itself to comedy, let's do comedy wrestling.
All right.
Comedy
like
wrestling, Mount
Rushmore. So one of them, Santino Marella, immediately where I'm just like, yeah. I'm like, he's one of the top guys. Probably the top, in my opinion, of like comedy wrestling. Oh, man. And I'm trying to think of others. I'm trying to think of who I was like. When I was like really trying to get into the groove of the Stooge character, honestly, I was trying to I try and be Jim Carrey if he was a wrestler when I'm out there.
Nice.
Like that's what I think about when I'm out there. I'm like, well, how would Jim Carrey physically like his comedy in his movies? Like what would he do if he was like a wrestler? So like, that's kind of my mindset. So I'm trying to think of other wrestlers though, other than that. Cause I honestly, Santino Marella, I've tried to look up matches. It's hard to find matches with like, that era of guys. I'm like, I can look all these Nitros from 98, but I'm like, I can't find one Santino Marella or like, you know, full match. I could see clips.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
The Cobra and all that, but I'm trying to think of others. I don't know. I would just put like the current ones like Orange Cassidy and stuff in there. But then even Orange Cassidy, I'm like, he can go either way. He's comedy, yeah, but he's a great wrestler as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I go right to Akeem, the African Dream. Just the ridiculousness.
Yeah.
You know, here's one man gang, pretty there big white go. Guy, and now all of a sudden he's black. Like, speaking now, he's, you know my brother. Yeah. They do with the dashiki and the whole thing on. Like, that's insane.
That is good. Oh, I know a lot of people think R-Truth. But him, he like physically in the ring, he's just great.
No,
he's
just a
good wrestler. So I'm trying to think of that of more like
his later comedy run. His later run was hilarious. So when like he would show up with like a ladder and like climb the ladder,
right?
It's not a ladder match, dude. Yeah. Like what do you
do? So like that's great, funny as like a character, but like in the ring wrestling stuff that's where my brain is kind of going. That's where I'm like Santino did comedy in his matches, funny stuff in there.
Andy I mean, Norman Smiley. I mean, he's in that.
Yeah, the Screaming Demon.
The Wiggle.
Big Wiggle.
He told me to fuck off once on an escalator. He was going up. I was going down. I'm like, hey, the Wiggle, man. Yeah. And he's like, fuck off. I'm
like, oh. How many times he's probably heard that?
100%. I get it. But at the time, I was.
But it was over. Everyone knows the F in the Big Wiggle.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The hardcore champ who didn't like pain.
I did it on how I usually dance in between some of my like elbow drops and stuff. I did it. And everyone's like, he's giving tribute to the Big Wiggle. And I'm like, I didn't even mean to. It's just naturally. It's like, I've seen it throughout my whole life. I'm like, oh, what's a dance move? And it just, you just start doing the Big Wiggle.
Where did the cold spray idea come from?
The Bucks and Kenny, that was they used to do it in Japan just when they were the elite out there in Bullet Club and stuff. And so when Matt was pitching this whole Stooge gimmick with a tracksuit and stuff, being like a young boy, he's like, yeah, and then you can have like a spray bottle to cool us off on. And he's all, and then, you know, we're heels. We could cheat easily. You could do it like they used to do. They used to spray people in the face with it to like cheat. So I was like, all right.
I see. So
it was kind of all of stuff they did back in New Japan. And then it was like, oh, just do that as your gimmick now.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what are the plans for All In for you? I mean, you're going to be out there in London.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, for sure. Cause I'll be filming some stuff. Big thing I want to do is film a lot of behind the scenes stuff of like documentary things is kind of what my brain kind of goes. I would love to have a match. I mean, come on, Orange. Let's do the pop match.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, challenge for that international championship.
Right, yeah. He's been weakened. Wait, did he lose it? Has he lost it?
No, he hasn't lost it.
Okay.
He's been defending it like every week.
Right, yeah. And then I was...
Fighting champion.
Yeah, he is. That's what I'm like. He's getting hurt more and more. I'm like,
man, here's your chance.
Time to do right now. A weekend Orange Cassidy. 58 matches later.
It's a tough business.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Now I can finally win.
Nice. But I mean, because like I mentioned earlier, you haven't really been coming out with the since the injury angle.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, are you planning on coming out with the boys? I mean, what's the
I don't know. Honestly, it's kind of like that's some of the beauty of wrestling is. Don't know until some of the days you get there, and then it is like you get there thinking you have nothing, and then it's like, oh no, you're gonna do this now this week, huh? What? Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot of having to be on your toes in that business.
There's a lot of it. Yeah.
All right. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming out and hanging out with us.
Thank
for sure.
Guys.
In that camera, plug away all of the things you need to plug away. BTE, all of
them. Being the elite, definitely, because that's the thing I'm most proud of. That is our creative freedom of anything we don't get to do on TV or on shows. That's where we kind of like nest all of our like creativity. It's kind of, I'm trying to honestly stay away from social media because I hate it. And I'm trying to be like, let's all just step back. Let's all take our privacy back. So I don't even want to plug social media at all. So just being the elite.
Yeah. Subscribe to being the elite. I tell people on this show all the time, there's fans that complain that there aren't enough storylines in AEW. I'm like, that's because you're not watching BTE. Because a lot of the storylines play out in BTE.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We continue a lot more. So it's even just a deeper dive, too, of storyline. Because it is something that, like, a lot of stuff is we take pride in it. And, yeah, we don't get I don't want to say enough time, but we don't get all the time that we would want because we're just all creative people. So, we're like as you see, BTE is another extra 20 minutes of, like, you know, oh, if this story had the behind the scenes or like its own spin-off series on Disney Plus or something, that's kind of what BTE is
for sure. Please subscribe to BTE. You know, he has social media, but he doesn't want you to follow him on.
Yeah, I've
set my Twitter to private, and so no one can even follow me. So I think I have 57,000 followers right now. If you're not one of those 57,000, you'll never follow me. I'm not going to accept any more followers. I kind of want to delete my Twitter, but I'm not. But I'm that where I'm like, I'm so anti-social media. I would love if we all just gave it up together.
On that note, yeah. Follow me, please. He's got two contracts. He's on TV. He doesn't need the social. I need the social. Follow me at RRBG Podcast. Follow this show at Comedy Store Wrestling. Earl, where do they follow you at?
ProWrestlingTees.com. The best of the best.
Yes.
I like it. That's a real, like, we brought it all the way around from 100%. The beginning. That's great. That's storytelling. Long-term storytelling.
Long-term storytelling.
Tony Khan, if you're out there, I'd like to be a writer.
Oh, there you go. And Katie, you want to plug away over there?
I don't need to. I don't know. I don't have a podcast to plug anymore.
Oh, no.
Way to bring the mood down.
God. Don't you have your own socials that people can follow you at?
I didn't say a word during the podcast, but if you would like to follow me, you can at KT Hetty on Instagram.
There you go. I'm just trying to help.
Spell it for our fans.
KTHETTY.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Thank you for checking us out.
Watch AEW.
Yes.
And being the elite.
Yeah.
Watch being the elite, damn it.